Welcome to Best Practices of Top Practices with Stephen J. Anderson. If you believe that your team is your most powerful case acceptance tool, that if they are good enough to hire, they are good enough to train, and that you must be as good on the inside as you appear to be on the outside, then we have designed the techniques and systems for team case acceptance that will take your team practice performance to the top. Here's your host, Steve Anderson.
Welcome to the Best Practices of Top Practices. This is Steve Anderson. Welcome to our podcast today. We're fielding another question from you. As you've listened to our broadcasts, our episodes in the past, we get daily messages with practice-related questions, and occasionally we take those specific questions and give a very specific, detailed answer. Today's question has to do with professional dental supplies. Here it is. We've got our dental supply percentage at 6%. We're constantly over that. Is 6% still the average, and does that include hygiene supplies? So, great question. Managing the practice P&L and understanding the percentages and what's on track in each area of expense is something that every dentist should keep their eyes on. So here are 9 specific recommendations as it has to do with managing your dental supplies and your dental supply budget. First, here's some background. This maybe is common sense for most to bring everybody up to speed on, so we're all on the same page. Here's a little bit of accounting background. There's a difference between variable costs and fixed costs. Fixed costs include anything that is a set amount that must be paid each month or on a regular basis, regardless of how many patients you see or how much treatment you do. So fixed costs in the practice would include rent, utilities, maintenance, or anything that's required just to keep the doors open. Variable costs, on the other hand, include costs generated based more on the number of patients you see or the amount of treatment that you do. Those costs rise or fall to a greater or lesser degree depending on and based on how much revenue you generate. So those costs would include lab costs, office supplies, team salaries, marketing costs, and professional supplies. Variable costs are measured as a percentage of revenue, and that's the best way to manage them, is based on that percentage. Number 2, make sure that you've identified what a dental supply or what dental supply costs include. So as you're working with the person who does your bookkeeping and you're identifying in your chart of accounts, you'll want to identify specifically what a professional dental supply includes and what it does not include. For example, we suggest separating out the cost of any oral bacteria testing. We recommend the Hine Diagnostics Microident test to be used in hygiene that can measure the bacteria load in every patient. It's part of the hygiene protocol. That can be identified as a separate expense item because it is a lab test and it's different than your laboratory where you're sending getting teeth done, and it's different than your professional supplies. So we recommend separating that out. Your implant costs, because of the cost of implants, we like to separate out the cost of implants so that you can measure how many implants you're doing, what you're charging for implants, and the total cost that it costs the practice to do an implant. So that should be a separate expense item. Invisalign, ClearCorrect, 6-month smiles, anything you're doing in the orthodontic area where there is a cost associated with doing those ortho cases, we like to split that out as well as its own cost so that you can measure revenue of those specific items compared to the cost associated with delivering that service. So those are some examples that should be taken out of either the lab or the professional supply line item in your chart of accounts so that they have their own specific expense line so you can manage those better. So What would be left, obviously, is your professional supplies. Those would be the consumables. Those would be everything else, gloves, instrumentation, impression material, all of the professional supplies required to do your hygiene and your restorative dentistry. Because of the cost structure, and that's what we're trying to manage, is manage expenses. The more detail that you can look at and understand where specific costs should be landing, the easier it will be to manage. So again, separate out, our recommendation is separate out your oral bacteria testing. That should be a separate line item. Cost of implants, cost of any ortho-related supplies, so you can manage those costs better. The more buried a cost is, the more difficult it is to manage. The more visible, the more manageable. So now that we understand what a professional supply is, let's talk about number three. If you're selling any products to patients, so if you have retail products, like any type of toothbrush, any type of oral rinses, any type of thing that you sell to your patients for home use, consider separating those out in a retail product line item as well. So whether it's Sonicare, Waterpik, oral rinses, anything like that, you might consider putting those in a retail product category so that, again, you can manage those expenses and compare them against actual sales to see how much markup you have on your retail products. That's different than the supplies that you're using to treat patients. They need to be managed separately so you can measure the cost and measure their profitability. Number four, once those details are taken care of and you have your chart of accounts set up correctly and detailed out what each account includes, then you can target your professional supply budget for a specific percentage of practice collections. There's often a discussion about production or collections. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters in a business is what actually gets collected. So our preference and recommendation is that you measure costs as a percentage of collections, not production. The goal and the target with everything that we have talked about to this point, you might consider that target to be between 4% and 5% of your practice collections. So if you can set a budget for 4% to 5% based on what you're doing now, and after you make all of those adjustments, somewhere in that neighborhood, 4% to 5% of office of collections would be a target and going to be your budget number. So those are the first four recommendations with that little bit of accounting background and splitting out the cost of specific things as well as your retail products, and then targeting your professional supply budget at 4% to 5%, then we're ready to get down to business. So with that, we'll take a moment here for a quick message from our sponsor of our podcast today. It's Thursday, February 26th, 2015, and I'm just waking up at Cooper University Hospital in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, in trauma ICU, having just completed 4 hours of double jaw surgery. Now, I was there by design, fortunately, just a few months before, thanks to Dr. Mary Burns in New Hope, Pennsylvania. I'd been diagnosed with a genetic, very severely restricted airway. It explained a lot in terms of my sleep patterns and things that I'd experienced my entire life. Dr. Burns mapped out a treatment plan, and I was on my way to have double jaw surgery. It changed my life and my health forever. Since that time, every tooth in my mouth has been restored. I've been opened up vertically, everything's been moved forward, and I can breathe like I never have been able to breathe before. I've made a significant investment in my mouth and my health. And when I look at that investment, I can't imagine anyone making that kind of an investment without wanting some peace of mind to go with it. Dental Warranty is dentistry's most powerful patient relationship tool, giving patients a greater sense of peace of mind. Used correctly, It gives patients unparalleled peace of mind, and it also grows your practice through higher treatment acceptance and better hygiene compliance. It creates a more predictable outcome and experience that's positive with every patient, with every treatment plan, no matter what life does to the work that they've invested in their mouth. Patients nationwide love their life-proof, no-fault protection on restorative, cosmetic, and removable dentistry and appliances that keeps them covered even when traveling or after they've moved away. So head over to discover.dentalwarrantycorp.com. That's discover.dentalwarrantycorp.com to grab your copy of the Patient Warranty Roadmap and a basic warranty template free for listeners of the best practices of top practices. You can use these best practices gathered from the nation's top dentists to get started with a better warranty in your own practice. Thanks to Dental Warranty Corp. So, how do you stay in budget? That's the real question when it comes to professional supplies or any variable cost for that matter. So, here's some recommendations. This is recommendation number 5. So, appoint one person on your team to be accountable for the professional supply budget. Now, let me differentiate here for just a moment as a reminder the difference between responsibility and accountability. Everybody on the team is responsible. They are responsible to follow the systems and the protocols that you put in place to manage expenses properly. That's everyone's responsibility. One person should be accountable. In other words, able to give account. Accountable. That's the person that is answerable to the rest of the team to give the team an update on a regular basis of the status of the supply budget and where we are. It is a total team effort, and the person who is accountable is then going to give an account to the team on a regular basis of where we are, if we're above budget, below budget, and I'll give you a suggestion here so that you are always in budget. Who should that person be? Our recommendation, typically what we find, the best practices have a very capable dental assistant. Since they are in the flow of the use of dental supplies, they have their hands on them all day, every day. They have an idea of what the supply levels are, and so a dental assistant is usually the best equipped to handle supply ordering. So you might, as part of their job description, appoint one of your dental assistants as the person accountable for ordering and keeping dental supplies within budget. Number 6, in order to stay in budget, have the person accountable for ordering supplies. Use what we call a supply budget worksheet. Now, this is very simple math. The worksheet calculates, let's say your budget is 4% of revenue, that person would calculate 4% of the previous period's collections. That determines the dollar budget for ordering supplies. So for example, if supplies are ordered every 2 weeks, the budget would be based on 4% of collections over the previous 2 weeks. So they calculate 4% of total collections for the last 2 weeks. That gives them a number. And then when they go to order supplies, they are subtracting the order that they make from that budget amount, not ever going over that specific number that's been calculated. So we recommend that the supply budget worksheet be kept by hand so that it can be tracked on a daily basis. The analogy that we use that you might consider is this is kind of like keeping a checkbook. Now, I know that a lot of people don't even keep a checkbook anymore. It's like keeping a budget, your home budget. So if you're doing this with one of your dental assistants, this might be great education for them personally. that they would get at the office that might help them in their personal life. So show them how to calculate how much they have to work with, 4% of the previous 2 weeks or 1 week, whatever the period is when you order supplies. And then every order they place, they're subtracting that order amount from the budget that has been determined for that period, always doing that calculation before they place the order so that they make sure they never go over the budget. Keep the supply budget worksheet in a visible, open place. We recommend either in the lunchroom or in the supply room, someplace where it can be visibly seen every day by everybody on the team, including the dentist. Recommendation number 7, the ordering, any order that is even being contemplated over the budgeted amount has to be approved by the owner, has to be approved by the owner dentist. So that's another check and balance, which is if there's something that you feel that you're in dire need of or anyone else, then it is discussed before it's ordered and the owner signs off, or whoever's been given that responsibility has to sign off on it to then give the dental assistant or whoever's accountable for doing the ordering permission to go over the budget. I don't recommend it. So the more exceptions you make to the supply budget protocol, then the more exceptions are going to be taken, and then things spin out of control. So this requires some planning, some discipline, and discussion as you move along on a regular basis. So anything outside the budget has to be approved in writing by you, by the owner or the owner dentist. Recommendation number 8, at least once a month in your monthly team meeting, let me just give you a little postscript here. If you're not having a monthly team meeting, now's the time to start. So a monthly team meeting as well as your weekly team meetings are the place where you can work on the practice. It should last at least an hour, if not more, and deal with specific things that you do not have time to deal with in your morning opportunity meeting. So once a month in your monthly team meeting, the person accountable for the supply budget will report to the team, not just to the dentist, but the entire team, on the status of the supply budget. Are we over? Are we under? Where are there problems? Where are we understocked, overstocked? So it should be a routine part of your monthly meeting. It should be on your written agenda so that that person knows that every month they will account to the entire team in terms of the health of the budget and how adequately we are supplied. In today's world, with almost immediate shipping, you should be able to keep your supply costs at a reasonable rate and your supply inventory at a reasonable rate so that you don't have to collect large inventories and then have to spend your money in order to have those inventories. Everything is so well-oiled and well-tuned today. It is much easier today to stay in budget than it ever was before. Recommendation number 9, make your supply rep part of the solution. I'm always amazed as I travel around to dental practices around the country, the relationship or lack thereof that dentists have with their supply reps. Typically, when the supply rep comes in, the dentist sprints for the back and pretends like she's busy and doesn't have time to meet with them. What I would recommend here is that you make your supply rep part of your team. They can be one of the most valuable team members you have that you don't have to pay. Make them a partner. Now, here's the recommendation, is that you sit down with them and say, I have two requirements if we're going to do business together. Two requirements. One, that we work together to accomplish my goals. I'm going to lay out specifically what my goals are, and I need your help to accomplish those goals, and I'm going to expect some specific things from you in order to do that. Number 2 requirement is that every time you come in, you be prepared to share with me or the rest of the team at least one idea that will help us grow, be more productive, and a more productive practice that doesn't cost anything. I am always on the hunt for great ideas, and you see a lot of great ideas, so every time you come in, I expect to hear at least one really good idea that we need to implement here in the practice. So, those are two recommendations. Then, what you'll say is, we have set a goal and a budget for our supplies. That budget is 4% of revenue. And here's how we break it down. We split out, here's the things we split out. We split out our oral bacteria testing. We split out our implant supplies. We split out our ortho supplies. So our dental supply budget includes just these things. We budget and we buy based on that percentage of revenue. So I need your help to stay within budget so that you are constantly looking for things that will help us to save money so we can spend money. And I will be happy to give you all of my supply business if you can help us stay in budget. Now, that kind of a relationship with your dental supply rep, then anytime they come in and make a recommendation of any kind of a dental supply, then your response can be, okay, does that help us stay in budget? Where are we on staying in budget? Make them part of the solution and part of your team to stay in budget instead of someone that you constantly have to say no to. Many supply houses now will help create a formulary of the supplies that you buy most often and will help you then. They will then help create special pricing on that formulary of the things that you buy most often. So sit down with your supply rep, and here would be the recommendation. Many times it is a lot more profitable, once you have determined what that budget is, to sit down with your supply rep and make them part of the solution instead of someone spending their time trying to hunt for the best deals different places in dentistry. Put your supply rep to work. So with those 9 recommendations and tips, I hope that that lends some more specificity, some more structure to managing your supply budget costs. With those tips, no reason why you shouldn't be able to keep your supply costs between 4% and 5% on a regular basis. With those things in place, then you can focus on patients, on patient care, on case acceptance, and things that will grow your practice so you'll be less concerned about managing the minor expenses along the way. Put the correct system in place to free up your mind so you can focus on the things that you're uniquely qualified to do. So I hope those supply budget tips help you manage a better practice. Those are tips from the best practices of top practices. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to being with you next time for our next podcast episode.
You've been listening to Best Practices of Top Practices. You can follow Steve on Facebook at Stephen J. Anderson and Instagram at The Stephen J. Anderson. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join us next time for more Best Practices of Top Practices. Thanks for being with us.